Toy Story was released in 1995 and was one of the first computer animated feature films of its time. The film kickstarted the animation juggernaut Pixar, and with memorable characters like Woody and Buzz, voiced by Hollywood royalty Tim Allen and Tom Hanks, the film became an instant classic. This week, we take a look at Toy Story and explore if it's still relevant today on Pop Culture Essentials. Welcome back to Pop Culture Essentials. I am Alistair. With me today is Nick Libero. Welcome in, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, man. It's Friday.
Happy Friday. And it's a public holiday here, so it's even better. Except we're locked down with nothing to do. But when life gives us lockdown, we turn that into movie watching, which is exactly what we've done. We will be starting a Pixar project, such an original name. And I thought we'd start this week with Toy Story. So thanks for jumping in on this week.
Oh, no, I'm more than happy. This is high up on the Pixar ranking for me. So I was very happy when this one popped up.
How long, just before we get into it, how long has it been since you last saw the original Toy Story film?
I watched it in the lead up to Toy Story 4 coming out. So it was like 2019, I think.
Ah, right. Okay.
But before that, it had been a while.
Right. I haven't seen this for 15 years.
Oh my God, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think I watched so much of it when it came out.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And, you know, on, you know, VHS and DVD.
VHS, that so, ancient relic, hey? Yeah.
So I feel like I kind of just watched too much that I got burnt out. And then everything else that Pixar have done since then has just been like, whoa. So, you know, why would you go back, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
But I'm glad we did. I really don't want to do a like rundown of the film because I feel like everyone knows, right?
Yeah. If you haven't seen Toy Story, it means you're like you just haven't been born yet, I would assume.
Who are you? The biggest shocks for me in this film. Do you know who wrote the screenplay?
I think I know the name you're going to mention because on rewatching it for this, it was the name that stuck out in big letters in front of me.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon. What the flock?
First screenwriter. Really? Like, first screenwriter credit to, like, he's the first name on there. So.
And this was obviously before Buffy, all that stuff. Yeah. So this was like, whoa, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like,
interesting.
There's like scenes in the film and there's humor in the film that kind of reminded me of the Avengers type humor as well.
It makes sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it totally definitely feels like a Joss Whedon script. What are your thoughts on the original Toy Story from 1995?
I love this movie because as someone who was born in 1995, it was obviously a movie I genuinely can say I grew up watching. And it sort of, both Toy Story 1 and 2 hold a special place for me because when I was like 4 or 5, my mum had to have like a major back surgery. So I lived with my grandparents for a few weeks while she had that. And I remember my auntie coming home with Toy Story and Toy Story 2 on VHS. And I wore the shit out of those tapes. I watched them so, like, I could recite Toy Story and Toy Story 2 as a kid. So I loved them growing up. And then going back and watching them a few years ago for Toy Story 4, which I was naturally cautiously optimistic about before it ended up becoming an amazing film. I was so worried that I was just going to be like, oh, it was so good for kids. But it's not. It's such a funny movie that is so catered towards adults just as much as it is for kids. And I think that's what Pixar do very well.
Hmm. Well, I was born when this movie came out. And I still remember going to the cinema to watch it.
Yeah.
And no one else in my family wanted to go, and I went with a friend from school, and my dad was working, so I literally had to walk to the cinema, and it was like an hour.
Oh my God.
And I remember walking to that cinema because I was so determined to see this. Yeah. And yeah, just back then, the animation just being like, whoa, this is the best thing ever.
It's the first thing I really, this time around with the animation, I was like, that animation is incredible for 1995. Like, it's genuinely amazing. But it also shows how far Pixar have come as well in 25 years.
Yeah. And do you know what? There are some smaller animation studios, and some not so small, who still make animation today that's not as good as 1995 Toy Story.
Insane. It's insane. Yeah. This movie looks incredible.
Like, what? I watched this on 4K.
Oh, yeah.
4K disc. Some of the transfer is not actually great.
Okay.
There's a couple of points in the film where it just... I don't know if they didn't finish the transfer properly, or maybe it's my disc. The part where they got the rocket strapped on to RC.
Yep.
And they're going really, really fast. There's like probably 2.5 seconds where it just glitches out.
Oh, right.
And I went back to make sure it wasn't the disc. But yeah, it was... I don't know if it was an issue with the transfer or what's been going on.
Mm.
And then I did some research and found out that Disney 4K transfers and upscales are considered the worst among industry.
Wow.
So I shouldn't be surprised. I'm like, okay, great, good to know.
Did they say why that is or what the reason for that could be?
There's a lot of technical mumbo jumbo behind it that I don't understand.
Fair.
So I guess as I go further into this 4K thing, I'll find out. Apparently Warner Brothers are the best.
Yeah, and they release a lot of 4K to Warner Brothers, so they seem to have their system down.
Apparently Ready Player One is the best 4K Blu-ray disc you can buy right now.
Oh, I think I have that.
So I'm like, okay, I might have to buy that and watch that movie for the second time. I digress. That was a weird segue. But yeah, look, I still love this film. And as I was watching it, I could still I found myself remembering the lines in my head that I used to know. Like you, I could quote this movie off by heart at school. And they were always lines from Rex and Slinky.
Yeah. Who are the biggest comedic relief for the
film? All of them.
They're the funniest parts of the movie.
Like, they're the two. Like, everyone's like, is it Buzz or Woody? I'm like, it's Rex and Slinky, mate. Like, for me, they're the MVPs of this film. Just so many lines. And my partner thinks I'm a loon because I was, like, sitting here cacking myself going, this is still hilarious.
It is, though. That's the thing. Like, and I think there's still, like, a weird stigma, for lack of a better word, of adults enjoying animated films. Because whenever I bring up to people that, like, so say, for example, like this year, I keep trying to get people to watch Mitchells versus the Machines, right? Because I think that's amazing.
Oh, God, I love it's that amazing. Movie. Yes.
It's so much easier to convince people to watch Pixar because everyone loves Disney. But there's still some people out there who are like, oh, it's a movie for kids. Like, this movie is... Bo Peep, the sexual tension between Bo Peep and Woody is not for kids.
Insane.
When she asks when she says someone else can watch the sheep tonight, we know what that means. 4-year-old Nick didn't know what that means, but we know what that means in 2021. So there's enough there for, like you said, the nostalgia part of it. You can quote all the funny lines like you knew as a kid, and then there's just so much more happening in that film watching it now too.
Definitely. I found that I liked Woody a lot less in this movie than I remember.
I think that's, like, again, that part of that being an adult watching it. There's a sort of, you understand his clinginess a bit more. And that's what the whole saga is kind of about, isn't it? It's about kind of moving on and letting go. There's like, that's the common theme that comes up. So I feel like it's exacerbated so much in this one with Woody because he is literally so jealous of, it's like the jealous girlfriend meme. That's what Woody is in this movie.
I was thinking you're kind of a controlling jerk.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like you, and this is weird. Because I always, in my head, was like, I was always, like, Team Woody, not Team Buzz. And I forgot that Mrs. Potato Head wasn't in this movie. And I'm sitting there going, where is Mrs. Potato Head? And then there's a line where, I think it's the end at Christmas, where he's like, come on, Mrs. Potato that's Head. Right. And then he unwraps the present, and they're like, oh, it's a Mrs. Potato Head. Like,
that's right, because that sort of triggered in my mind when all the kids are rocking up for the birthday party and he's asking for, and I was like, oh, which is even better because I have so many fond memories of them in Toy Story 2 and how funny they are. So it was like, I couldn't believe I forgot as well that she's not in the movie at all.
Yeah. Crazy.
Crazy.
But still, this was like the movie that started it all.
Yeah.
And you can definitely see why Disney bought Pixar.
Yeah.
And why they greenlit the project based on the voice talent alone.
Oh, my God.
I always forget that it's Wallace Shawn that does Rex.
And he is so funny.
It just still
funny.
Spins me out.
He is so good as Rex.
His lines are amazing.
And he delivers them so... Like, Wallace Shawn is... I mean, like, it's hard to not think Tom Hanks is, like, the best voice actor in the film because Wallace Shawn is up there, too.
And for me, and you can judge away, like, Clueless was big for me growing up. Really big.
Yeah, of course. No, I get that.
And he was such a big part of that movie. And then to have him be, you know, hilarious in this, just even better. Even better.
Oh.
I don't think I stopped smiling for the whole... And it was only 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah, like, if that. I've never remembered it being this short.
No, but yeah,
when
it's like
it
normal
over,
movie
I was
length.
Like, oh, God. Yeah, genuinely, yeah. I couldn't believe it.
I think my favorite line, and I don't know why, but it's definitely from Rex, and it's when he says, Buzz, is that you? When they're doing the search, and it's the cat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's just such a stupid throwaway line of like that Rex knows the cat's name is Whiskers.
But he asks if it's Buzz.
Like, will you get out of here? You're interfering with the search and rescue. And I don't know why, but I like lost it. I was laughing for like 10 minutes.
Why is it so funny? Is perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's Wallace Shawn as well. And because Rex is such a likable doofus.
Yeah, true.
As well, he's not that character who's just dumb for the sake of being dumb. Like,
yeah.
I feel like you kind of, everyone can sort of relate to an element of Rex in a way. We've all had our dumb moments, and he's so likable, and Wallace Shawn is definitely a big part of the reason for that.
The best. Do you think it's still relevant? / entertaining today.
You know what? I, in a controversial sort of way, would probably consider this my like least favorite Toy Story movie.
Wow.
But in saying that, that's like it's an 8 out of 10 for me. Like it's still amazing. But I think its relevancy comes through how you see different elements of the story growing up. Like I said, like it's so colorful and fun and amusing, and the songs are great when you're a kid. And then watching it now, I'm like, oh man, this is just a hard story about, you know, not being a jealous person or letting go and moving on. And then I for some reason, I don't know why, the subtitles, I watched this on Disney Plus, the subtitles were on. So I was reading every lyric of the songs of Randy Newman's songs.
Okay.
And it hits so differently. The lyric, the saddest song and the saddest scene in the movie is when Buzz tries to fly. And the lyrics of that song were hitting me so hard. And I don't know why. I was sitting there and I was like, is this movie talking to me right now? So I think it's still relevant now because growing up with the movie,
yeah,
I'm understanding different elements of it now more than I did when I was 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
And I still think it's thoroughly entertaining. It's a great mixture of drama and humor.
I was thinking if I had kids in some weird universe, this would be the kind of stuff that I would deliberately feed them.
Oh, God, yeah.
Daily.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it wouldn't bother me if I was walking past and they were watching it for the millionth time. But if I walked past and they were watching some of the other recent...
Like the Emoji Movie?
Like, yeah, or like Peppa Pig or anything. Like, I would much rather them like go, I want to watch Toy Story or Toy Story 2 or Toy Story 3. Maybe not Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4 is a little bit darker.
So, yeah, I would definitely say yes. It's probably still entertaining today, although the scene with Sid and... that whole thing is pretty damn dark.
Sid is cooked. Yeah. Like, it's another one of those things that I don't think I fully understood the extent of what was happening as a kid.
Yeah, totally.
It is dark.
And do you know who Sid reminds me of?
Who?
He looks like the animated version of Will Poulter.
Oh my God, he does too. Oh, that's splitting image.
Like where the Millers, Will Poulter.
Yeah, very sad and desperate, Will Poulter. Oh my God, it's... I mean, no offense. I
couldn't get it out of my
head. No offense to Will, great actor. It's that huge forehead.
Yeah.
It's that massive forehead.
We don't think you're pulling toys apart and Frankenstein.
Hey, we're not making this alleged claim. There will be no tweets about this. We're not trying to stop. No. But you look like Sid.
Oh, Nick just sent a tweet.
Cancel Sid. Cancel Will.
you watch this on Disney Plus.
Yes.
I watch this on 4K disc. As I said, there were some issues with my 4K disc. However, overall, it played really well. There aren't any special features on this one. And I only got a single 4K disc. There's no special Blu-ray copy as well.
Okay.
Which was surprising because most of the other Pixar ones do. So, odd. What are your final thoughts? Does Toy Story still hold up today? Yes or no?
Yes. 100% yes.
Agreed. Well, do you have anything else you want to bring up? About Toy Story.
I have one note.
Yeah,
I really want there to be an in real life Pizza Planet.
Yes.
Could you imagine that? Like, dine-in Pizza Huts were great.
Yeah.
But imagine like a full-fledged Pizza Planet.
If it was like a dine-in Pizza Hut meets Time Zone, I think that would be Pizza Planet.
That's Pizza Planet. Yeah, 100%.
Totally. They should totally do that. And I love how
one of us are a millionaire. We'll make it.
Yeah, whoever gets there first.
That's it.
All right. Well, that is Toy Story. Definitely still pop culture essential in 2021. To close out the show, we are going to do my favorite thing of this week and every week. What is essential for you this week, Nick?
I'm reading a book at the moment, actually. Which is a big thing for me. I don't read lots, but I think especially in these, without sounding like a broken record, so trialing times in the world, I'm looking for external motivation to sort of get me going. And I've found this book called Can't Hurt Me, by a former Navy SEAL called David Goggins. And he's an intense dude, don't get me wrong, but he's got an incredible story about how he lost 300 pounds to become a Navy SEAL, and sort of his very rough upbringing. And it's just, it's a very, not to be, have a dour essential, because it's actually, the book's quite motivating and positive. But I think at the moment in the world, it's kind of good to see that there's always some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. And I think that's what this book is doing, is a good motivational tool to get my bum into gear and know that there's good things coming. If I work
there
hard
you
for
go.
It.
Very good. Mine is the complete opposite of that. It's a TV series. It's called The Other Two. It's a comedy, and it's created by Saturday Night Live, well, the current head writers, Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider. It actually came out in 2019 on the Comedy Central.
Okay.
And HBO Max bought the rights to season two, and they've just started airing season two. It is one of the funniest shows I've ever seen in my life. Lorne Michaels is a big producer in it.
Okay.
The cast is Molly Shannon.
Oh, yeah.
Wanda Sykes.
Oh, yes.
Ken Marino. And the two leads are Drew Tarver and Helen York, who I haven't seen before.
No.
Basically, the premise is it's a family, and the three children, the youngest child becomes famous. His name is Chase Dreams. and he's basically Justin Bieber.
Yeah, okay.
And Molly Shannon plays Pat Dubeck, who has a Ellen-style daytime talk show. And this show is about the other two siblings, Carrie and Brooke, who also want to be famous.
Okay.
And are not. And are constantly running around after their brother and mum, trying to live off the coattails of their fame to become famous themselves.
Right.
It's kind of a really, really good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very, very funny. It's just giving me life. One of the main characters, Carrie, is gay, and a lot of it's laughing and poking fun at current day gay culture, which is a big thing to do.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, it's just... I don't know. It's just very entertaining is all I can say. HBO Max are doing double episodes weekly, which is just the best thing on the planet.
So good.
So, yeah, I'm hoping for a season three renewal. It currently has 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
So that's not something that every TV show gets, especially a comedy.
No, God no. So...
So it's called The Other Two, and it's currently airing on HBO Max. Hopefully, we'll get an Australian date at some point in the future. All right, that is it. Thanks so much for coming along, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
And you can catch us back next week with another episode of Pop Culture Essentials. Till then, if you're listening to us on iTunes, hi, hello, or even on Google Podcasts, hello there. Please give us a rating, leave us a review, and more importantly, tell your friends that you are listening and that you love us and that you'll be back next week to find out what's essential in pop culture.